This podcast is brought to you by the Association for Child and Adolescent Mental Health, ACAM for short. You can find more podcasts and other resources on our website, www.acamh.org, and follow us on social media by searching ACAMH.
Hello and welcome to the In Conversation podcast series for the Association for Child and Adolescent Mental Health, or ACAM for short. I'm Jo Carlo, a freelance journalist with a specialism in psychology. Today I'm interviewing Dr. Steph Lewis, Clinical Research Training Fellow at the Institute of Psychiatry, Psychology and Neuroscience, King's College London. Steph is the editor of The Bridge, which will be the main focus of today's podcast. If you're a fan of our In Conversation series, please subscribe on iTunes or your preferred streaming platform. Let us know how we did with a rating or review, and do share with friends and colleagues. Steph, thank you for joining me. Can you start by introducing yourself?
Thanks very much, Jo. So I'm a psychiatrist. I work with children and young people, and I'm also a researcher. And my research is in the area of trauma exposure and the mental health difficulties experienced by young people who've experienced traumas. Perhaps because of my role being both a clinician and an academic, I'm really keen to promote the translation of research into clinical practice and vice versa. And that's why I'm so enthusiastic and passionate about The Bridge, because I think this is a great way to encourage that translation.
Before we turn to The Bridge, can you say just a little more about yourself in terms of what made you specialise in child and adolescent mental health?
Yeah, sure. So when I was training in medical school and in postgraduate training, I think I was mainly just really interested in the specialty for a number of reasons, I think, because I think we see young people who have emerging mental health problems that are occurring while they're developing emotionally, socially and cognitively, and they need the support of their family and friends at this age often. So I think all these factors, when they come together in young people, are really, really interesting. Also, have always found it really enjoyable to work with young people, always really impressed by how thoughtful, honest and brave the young people we work with are as well. Perhaps also, I guess it's important to say that it can be a really rewarding specialty. And I think that's what I've found as my career has gone on a bit longer and I spend longer in jobs, if that makes sense. So we can help young people and families to overcome their difficulties, and it can have potentially long-lasting benefits, which I think is really important for the young people we see.
Great, thank you. Let's turn to The Bridge then. The Bridge has undergone many changes recently. Can you set the scene for us? What is The Bridge and what are its aims?
Yes, so The Bridge is ACAM's magazine. So we publish articles on child and adolescent mental health, clinically relevant topics for our broad audience. And the aim of The Bridge in particular is to bridge the gap between expert evidence and current practice.
Given the existence of CAM and the JCPP, why is The Bridge necessary and why is it so valuable?
So that's a really important question. So at ACAM, we have really excellent and important journals that produce high quality research. So you mentioned CAM, JCPP, and of course, recently JCPP Advances. And they're really important mechanisms of disseminating research. But the unique feature of The Bridge is that we try and make our content really accessible for our readers. So our focus and our unique sort of selling point maybe is that our articles are easy to read, concise and get the key messages across. So we want them to be really accessible for busy clinicians, including those who typically don't have time to read more detailed journal articles.
Great. Steph, can you tell us about the transformation of The Bridge? What has changed and why?
Yes, sure. So Bridge has been producing excellent articles, which have mainly been what we've termed sort of research digests. So these are articles which summarise recent research in our field, particularly the research that's published in JCPP and CAM. And we want to build on these excellent research digests, so we'll keep those. But we want to add a wider variety of articles that cover not only the latest clinically relevant child and adolescent mental health research, but also other aspects of best practice and policy. So ultimately, my vision or my goal is to make the bridge as interesting and useful for clinicians as possible, and for it to be widely read so that we can use it as a mechanism to put expert evidence into practice.
Are there any challenges that you anticipate given the transformation?
Yes, so I think I'd maybe say the two main challenges are, firstly, getting the content right. So I'm really keen to hear from our readers. I'd really like readers to feel that they have an important sort of say in what goes in the magazine and what they find most important. So I'd really like them to see it as their magazine and to get in contact with me and let me know what they'd like to see, to make sure that we're getting that content right and pitched correctly for our readers. Mm-hmm. And I think the second possible challenge is reaching as many readers as possible. So I'm keen to disseminate the bridge as far and wide as possible. And we'd encourage readers, if they find it useful, to share with their colleagues so that we can have the biggest impact as possible.
Mm, great. What content is coming up in the bridge that particularly excites you? What can readers look forward to?
Yes. So as well as our excellent research digest, we'll be continuing with those, as I mentioned, but we've got some really great articles that are written by experts in the field. So I'll give you some examples of articles we've got coming up. For example, we've got an article written by Professor Anita Thapar that describes genetics research and how this can inform child and adolescent mental health care. Really interesting article. And as another example, we've got an article by Jesse Baldwin and Andrea Danesi about ACEs scores and how useful they are. So these are both really clinically relevant and interesting research articles that are sort of cutting edge and the sorts of topics that are really important to clinicians, I hope. Something else that's coming up that really excites me is we're having contributions from young people into the bridge. Great. So we've got some young people writing authors with sort of professional experts. So our young people, I guess, are experts by experience, and they're bringing that really valuable experience in to inform those articles. And we've also got young people who are leading articles themselves. So if they're particularly passionate about a topic and feel that it's maybe under-recognised or misunderstood in clinical practice, and they really want to get that message across to clinicians, we think that their articles in the bridge might be a great way to do that. So we're working with young people to produce those sorts of articles.
That's fantastic. Steph, why is evidence-based research so important when it comes to children and young people's mental health?
Another good question, Jo. So I guess I would say that research is vital to drive improvements in child and adolescent mental health, both in the care we provide and also in understanding mental health and interventions and prevention strategies, so that we can best support young people who've got mental health problems or who might develop mental health problems. Mm-hmm. And this is particularly important in our field because mental health problems are common in young people. So we know that the latest national survey that was undertaken in July last year, I think, found that 1 in 6 young people had a probable mental health disorder at the time of assessment. And that was across the whole range of age groups. So it really is a common difficulty that young people experience. And in fact, we know that these difficulties cause a great deal of distress and impairment, and they're sort of largest cause of disability in young people. So it's a really important topic to make improvements on, and research is essential for those improvements.
Right. You mentioned before how important it is for evidence-based research to have a sort of wide reach. What more can be done to disseminate and promote evidence-based science?
This is something that researchers are becoming more and more interested in and wanting to engage with key stakeholders so that they can disseminate their research and ensure that it has as great an impact as possible. And so in terms of what more can be done, I think there are some really great initiatives it's possible for researchers to get involved with and scientists to get involved with. And ACAM has some really brilliant examples of those. So ACAM has The Bridge, which we're talking about now, but also these podcasts are a great way to disseminate research, and the videos that ACAM makes and ACAM's excellent events. And maybe I'll take this opportunity to plug CAMS Around the Campfire, which is ACAM's monthly journal club, which is a really great way to disseminate and promote evidence-based practice. So I was helping out with setting up the journal club with an excellent team, including Matt Kempen at ACAM and Andre Tomlin, the mental elf, and his colleague Douglas Badenoch. These journal clubs are still running. It's a monthly informal journal club where we get a panel of experts to discuss research. And that panel of experts includes a young person. And these have been really popular and really interesting sessions. So I think all these different initiatives are great ways to disseminate research.
Great. And more information on the ACAM website and all those things you've mentioned. Steph, what about the translation of evidence-based research into practice? Does this happen enough in your view? And what more can be done to enable this?
I think this is a really important area, and I think certainly more can be done. So I think one aspect of it is what we've been describing, so better dissemination of research and engagement with those key stakeholders of clinicians who, you know, some of us are in both camps, if that makes sense. So I think it's really important. But I think as well as researchers and experts engaging with clinicians, I think it's also important that clinicians engage with the research. So in my experience, there has been an increasing appetite for this. So for example, that the popularity of our CAMS Around the Campfire journal clubs shows that these sorts of initiatives are increasing in the clinical teams I've been working with, where sometimes they might hold their own groups or teaching sessions and bring in the latest research into that, which I think is absolutely excellent. Mm-hmm. And even just discussing the latest research with colleagues, it's really important to encourage those discussions in our clinical teams.
Great. Steph, what else is in the pipeline that you'd like to mention?
Oh, there are a few things that we're planning for the bridge that I haven't mentioned so far. So maybe I'll take this opportunity to mention them. Yeah. So we're really trying to focus on policy. So we'd like to, in the bridge, discuss any sort of proposed or changes to law or guidelines that might impact young people's mental health. So get experts in and young people to write articles to inform our readers about policy changes or potential policy and how this might affect their work and the young people they work with. I think that's really important, as well as letting our readers know how they can influence policy. I think that will be a really great addition to the bridge.
Excellent. And finally, Steph, what is your takeaway message for those listening to our conversation?
I think I'd say, please check out the bridge, get involved, let me know what you'd like to see, what you'd like to read about in future, and also please do share with your colleagues. So maybe I should use this opportunity to say on our webpage there will be a very prominent feedback area where people can get in touch with me, but they can also email me at thebridge@acamh.org. So ACAM is ACAMH.org. So I'd love to hear from our readers, and please do get in touch.
Fantastic. Thank you ever so much, Steph. For more details on Dr. Steph Lewis, please visit the ACAM website, www.acam.org, and Twitter at ACAM. ACAM is spelled A-C-A-M-H. And don't forget to follow us on iTunes or your preferred streaming platform, and let us know if you enjoyed the podcast with a rating or review, and do share with friends and colleagues.
This podcast was brought to you by the Association for Child and Adolescent Mental Health. ACAM for short.